and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Rather than the classic stories we normally bring you on this program, tonight we present an original script by Brad Buchanan called The Revolutionary Room. It involves a young lady with all the deductive prowess of Sherlock Holmes, but who is much more pleasing to the eye. Evangeline Whitelinger is our heroine for this show, and to begin, she is a novice secretary recently hired by the Brockton Detective Agency. Her boss, Vincent Brockton, has just come from the scene of a crime and has called his new secretary in to take notes. We hope you enjoy the premiere of this original story called The Revolutionary Room.
All right, Miss Whitelinger, I will describe the situation so far, and I need you to make notes and create a new file for this case.
Yes, I'm ready.
The theft of the diamonds occurred at the Diamond Exchange. It is located on the fourth floor of the Kramer Building on West 57th. The event took place about noon today. Am I going too fast?
No, not at all. Please continue.
There were four customers in the exchange at the time, each with a tray of diamonds in front of them. A man just walked in the exchange, had a seizure of some kind, fell to the floor, and was foaming from the mouth, and everyone rushed to his aid.
So all four customers are suspects?
Yes. Here, I'll draw a quick sketch of the room. When the diamonds came up missing, we searched everyone thoroughly, even the clerks. All the witnesses corroborated that within moments of the man's attack, everyone in the room was crowded around him, trying to help. No one was anywhere near the diamonds when they disappeared.
So whatever happened to the diamonds, it took place in the blink of an eye.
Yes. There was a long counter with windows on each end. Here, like this. So the room was well lit. They had the stones set on velvet trays so that it would sparkle in the sunlight. Looking from the vantage point of the door, the velvet tray on the far left was empty. Five big diamonds just seemed to have disappeared.
And what about the man who was standing in front of the empty tray?
Actually, it was a lady. She was searched several times by the police. In fact, she had to accompany a female detective into a private room and disrobe. The diamonds were not on her person.
Could she have swallowed them?
Not without being seen. These were very large, valuable pieces of ice. It would have been impossible to choke them down that quickly.
What about the building and grounds?
Nothing much to tell there. Here, I'll draw it out for you. We'll need it for the file. The Kramer Building is built of limestone blocks. There's a half-circle drive, like this, and a beautiful flower garden with a fountain in the middle. Off to the side, right here.
I see. Yes. I will put the drawings in the file, along with my notes.
Very good, Miss Whitelinger. You seem to be coming along splendidly. Perhaps someday you will be an investigator yourself.
If I can retrieve those diamonds and point you toward the culprit, or culprits, as the case may be, would you consider making me a detective then?
If you can figure out where these rocks are and who took them, you are a detective. The title would only serve as confirmation.
Then let's return to the scene and get those diamonds back.
What? You think they're still there, at the Diamond Exchange?
Kind of, yes. Shall we go? Yes, all the windows are open, just as I thought.
Of course the windows are open. It's hot out here. Anything for a breeze. What are you doing?
Taking off my shoes and socks and pinning up my skirt.
Why the devil are you doing that?
So I can go wading in the fountain.
Have you lost your mind? You represent the Brockton Detective Agency, and I will not have you masquerading.
Oh, yes, there's one. Here, would you please hold this, Mr. Brockton, while I find the others?
Good heavens! The diamonds are in the fountain. How did you know?
The female customer was standing on the fourth floor by an open window when the diamonds disappeared. The pool for this fountain is huge. If the lady simply threw the diamonds out the window, which she could do very quickly, where would they land?
Why, in the fountain, of course. This is brilliant.
But since the thieves had not yet retrieved the booty, they'll be back. Just station your men in those nearby bushes, and sometime in the next few nights the thieves will return to pick up the goods. By the way, I'm pretty sure the man who had the seizure was in on it. He was the distraction, while the woman threw the diamonds into the fountain. Oops, here's another one.
This is incredible. Good work.
So, Do you think I'm capable of being a detective?
Oh, yes. There will be more cases for you in the very near future.
Are you taking me, John?
Mr. Brockton told me to pick you up and take you to the Van Brooklyn mansion immediately.
Well, that was more than he told me. All I know is that there was a late-night phone call requesting assistance, and you would pick me up.
You know about the Van Brooklyn mansion, don't you?
I know of the Van Brooklyn mansion, that it is very old and has a reputation for being haunted.
Oh, there's more than that. The original house has been around since pre-revolutionary times and has been added on to several times since then until it's almost a monstrosity with wings sticking out here and there and gables where they make no sense. Every generation has added new construction and just stuck rooms and hallways wherever it was most convenient.
Sounds like an architect's nightmare.
That's what I hear. As for the haunted part, there is an old wives' tale that long ago, in the early days of the Van Brooklyn mansion, there were several prominent businessmen from town who went there for dinner one evening and never returned.
Really? I had never heard that.
Yes, just disappeared, as the story goes. There was some attempt to prosecute the elder, Mr. Van Brooklyn, for their deaths. But since no bodies were ever found, the charges were eventually dropped. Ever since, though, there has been a rumor that the house is haunted.
There are many false rumors that float around. All the hauntings I have ever investigated have turned out to be humans posing as ghosts. But surely they don't need an investigator because of some silly ghosts. Are they that gullible?
No, I don't think they want you because of ghosts. From what they told me, Miss Whitelinger, they need to find some document that has gone missing, and it has to be found tonight, or the client will be ruined.
But why me? Why couldn't Brockton have sent one of the regular detectives to look into this?
After you solved the diamond heist, and the two culprits showed up later, just as you said, Mr. Brockton thought this would be right up your alley. You have a reputation for finding things that have apparently disappeared. Here we have a missing document with a haunted house thrown in to boot.
There are certain intriguing aspects to the case, but good heavens, it is the middle of the night, and I'm not one of the regular on-call Brockton investigators.
All I know is that he apparently thought you were the best one for the case and asked me to pick you up and deliver you safely to the Van Brooklyn place. Look, we're almost there now.
Of course. Drive on, John. Perhaps it will be a case that will pique my curiosity.
Yes, please come in. I am Douglas Van Brooklyn, and you are...
Evangeline Whitelinger, of the Brockton Detective Agency.
Yes, of course. And where are the others?
Others?
Yes, the others, the main investigators.
I am the main and only investigator sent by Mr. Brockton. Apparently he felt I was capable of helping, or he would not have sent me. Perhaps you could exhibit some of the same confidence in my abilities?
Oh, yes, of course. It's just I was not expecting...
A woman? You did not think that perhaps a woman could help get to the bottom of your mystery?
It was just unexpected, that's all. I did not mean to impugn your abilities. After all, it is 1920, and I should...
Never mind. It's not the first time I have been greeted in this fashion at a crime scene. Do you think it would help if I wore a deerstalker hat and smoked a pipe?
Well, you do have a sense of humor, and I appreciate that. My apologies for being so insensitive. Let's not get off on the wrong foot.
I agree. But if I am going to assist you in whatever problem is at hand, there must be mutual respect between us.
Yes, I quite understand.
Now, as to the mission I was called here on, I understand there is a missing document.
Yes, but before I explain, please, let's move into the dining room where you can meet Mr. Lang. This is Mr. Thaddeus Lang, my old school chum and mathematician extraordinaire. And this is Ms. Evangeline Whitelinger, who has come to assist with our little problem.
Little problem? If we don't find that page with all my calculations on it, my reputation will be destroyed.
Yes, Thad, please stay calm. I'm sure Ms. Whitelinger can shed some light on this situation.
I will do my best. Let's begin with an explanation of what happened here tonight.
It was the simplest thing, really. Thad had developed some invaluable calculations that are completely over my head, and was going to sell them to the government tomorrow morning. So we threw a little party in celebration.
So there were other people here tonight?
Yes, 10 in all. But they all left before the document went missing.
And what about the women of the household?
They were all in bed before the incident occurred.
And this document, what exactly was it?
Thad, I had better let you explain that. All I can say is that it is a thesis that could transform the entire explosives industry.
I've been working on it for years, years, and now it's worthless, completely worthless.
I still don't understand. Could you be more explicit?
It was my thesis on creating a super explosive, a super bomb. It's very difficult to explain to someone who does not study physics.
Yes, the details of your thesis are not really important to me. Wouldn't the easiest thing be to replicate the page of calculations? You created them in the first place.
Yes, but it took me months to arrive at the calculations I used on that sheet. They were much too complex to commit them to memory, and there's no time to recreate them now.
Why is it so imperative that we find the page tonight?
Because tomorrow morning at 8, Thad was supposed to deliver the thesis to the General of Armaments for the U.S. government.
Yes, and if I'm not there, I will be ruined.
Please settle down, Thad. Nothing can be accomplished through hysterics.
Quite right. It appears you have been drinking tonight, Mr. Lang, and our examination will be more productive if you could keep control of your emotions.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just so...
Yes, I understand. I understand your predicament. Now let's move on. How many pages was your document?
It was 19 pages long.
And the entire document is missing?
No, just one page. The page with all the calculations on it. The most important page of my entire thesis.
And that was page number...
It was page number 13.
Oh, how ominous. I assume the document was not bound then?
Bound? You mean like a book? Oh, no. They were just loose sheets in a manila folder.
No fasteners? No paper clips?
No, nothing like that.
I see. Where did you carry this manila folder? I assume you did not walk around with it under your arm?
No, of course. I have my briefcase right here. I always kept it safely in my briefcase.
So someone had to get into your briefcase in order to steal the page of calculations?
No, that's not the way it happened.
Not at all. After the wonderful dinner with all of our guests, and Thad and I were left alone, he became agitated and began pacing up and down. Even for you, Thad, you got pretty drunk.
I must admit that I overindulged tonight, but it was a celebration. I was elated at my good fortune in selling the formula. Yes, I was a bit soused.
Then it is time to clear your senses, Mr. Lang. As a very overrated predecessor of mine might say, the game is afoot.
When Thad became so nervous and edgy about his thesis, I suggested that he should take it off into a quiet part of the house and review it.
Which I thought was a marvelous idea at the time, so I took the manila folder out of my briefcase.
And I showed him into this little closet-like room just off of the dining room. It seemed perfect. Quiet, secluded, nothing in the room to distract him.
A closet just off the dining room. Does it lead anywhere?
No. There's only the one door leading from the dining room.
Windows? Are there windows in the room?
No. It's just plastered walls. We normally don't use it. We keep it shut off from the rest of the house because it's worthless for anything but storage, and we have plenty of storage in the attic.
So this room is never used?
Only rarely, in situations like we had tonight, where someone needs seclusion for a time.
There is nothing else in the room?
Nothing. It is completely empty. We had to drag one of the dining room chairs into the room so Thad would have something to sit on. That and a small table we gave him for his lamp were the only two articles of furniture in the room.
So, a room with no ingress or egress except through the door to the dining room, and no furniture that might hide a piece of paper. This is interesting. How, then, could the paper have gotten lost?
That is the mystery. There's no way for that paper to disappear.
Were the sheets of paper in your hand the entire time?
Well, no. This is a bit embarrassing, but I had drunk so much of my host's fine wine that at one point I dozed a bit and the folder slipped from my hand.
And the pages scattered across the floor?
Yes. I woke up immediately and gathered the sheets, putting them back in order, only to find that page 13 was missing.
And you're sure you did not continue to doze long enough for anyone else to enter the room?
No, that would have been impossible. The sound of the folder woke me instantly.
And you don't have it on you somewhere?
No. When I found it missing, I went to the lavatory and searched all my pockets thoroughly. When I re-entered the room, I had Doug search me to make sure I hadn't missed anything.
Yes. I searched him and found nothing. I am convinced the missing page is not on Thad's person.
Well, and not to be rude, how about you, Mr. Van Brooklyn? You did not disturb the papers, I assume?
I regret the insinuation, madam, but to answer bluntly, no, I have not touched the missing paper. After I searched Mr. Lang, I had him search me in return, so there could be no questions.
And the ladies of the household?
They are beyond reproach. They had already retired for the evening.
Yes, the women could have had nothing to do with it. The paper simply disappeared. There is no other explanation for it.
There is always an explanation. The only question is whether one can find it. Now, I would like to see the room that Mr. Lang occupied when the document went missing.
Certainly. It is right over here.
Just as you said. The room is bare as ancient bones. Not a piece of furniture or a decoration to be seen.
Just as we told you.
Plastered walls all the way around. It is like a prison cell, except it lacks a window with bars on it.
I'm sure it was built as a coat closet for guests from long ago. You know, both George Washington and Aaron Burr visited this house during the Revolutionary period.
No, I did not know that. But it really has no bearing on this case that I can see.
No, of course not. At any rate, a coat closet is the only use for this room that we can see.
Yes, it is a very interesting room in spite of its lack of furnishings. Mr. Van Brooklyn, would you indulge me by recreating the scene? Could you bring the dining room chair Mr. Lang used back into the room?
Of course.
And Mr. Lang, would you please set the chair exactly where you were sitting, in the same position?
It was right here.
And the small table used by Mr. Lang, where is it?
It's just outside in the dining room. I'll get it.
Good. Now please set everything up just as it was when you were reviewing your thesis. There was a lamp? Mr. Van Brooklyn, if you please.
Of course.
Now, please sit in the chair just as you were earlier. Thank you, Mr. Van Brooklyn. Now, we will also need the manila folder with the papers inside, if you would be so kind.
Yes, all right. Is there anything else you might need so I can fetch it on this trip and not have to make another?
No, I believe the folder is the last thing we need to accurately recreate the scene exactly as it happened.
Yes, well, just a moment.
Now, Mr. Lang, are you sitting just as you were before? Were your legs crossed?
Yes.
Then please cross them now. Assume the same posture you used earlier. Thank you, Mr. Van Brooklyn. Please close the door as it was during Mr. Lang's earlier visit. Now, Mr. Lang, hold the folder just as you did before. I see. Mr. Lang, when you dozed for a few moments, did your head bob forward or backwards?
Forward, just a little.
Good. Then I want you to allow your head to go slack, and at the same time, let the folder slip from your lap and the loose pages go where they will.
All right.
Is that how the paper scattered before?
Yes, it looks pretty much the same.
One moment, then. Please do not touch anything. Do you see how the papers flew in the direction of that wall because of the way he had his legs crossed?
Yes, but I don't understand.
Mr. Lang, may I please use this loose sheet a moment? It's page 6 of the thesis, but I promise not to harm it.
Certainly, Miss Whitelinger. Do with it as you will. Without the page of calculations, the rest is worthless.
All I am going to do is slide this single page between the floor and the baseboard and... Yes, there it is, gentlemen.
There what is?
There is a small slit between the floor and the baseboard right here, just enough for a sheet of paper to slip through. See how the sheet slides under the baseboard? There is the solution to your mystery, Mr. Lang. Page 13, the page of calculations, is on the other side of this wall.
Good heavens, she's right.
Do you know what's on the other side of this wall, Mr. Van Brooklyn?
No, I have no idea. Probably an outside brick wall. But we're wasting time. Thad, quickly, we must hurry to the shed and get axes and picks to tear down the wall.
You're right. Time is of the essence. Nothing. It's not there.
Let's clear away some of these chunks of fallen plaster, Mr. Lang. Ah, there it is, just as I thought. A little beat up, perhaps, from the falling plaster, but still intact and perfectly legible.
Oh, that's it. You've saved me, Miss Whitelinger. My meeting with the General of Armaments will be conducted successfully.
Yes, of course. Now, what really interests me is what lies beyond this hole in the wall. It's not brick, as you predicted, Mr. Van Brooklyn.
No, it is as black as the soul of an infidel in there. It seems to be a room of some kind, but I can't really see anything. Will one of you please hand me the lamp from the little table? Thank you. Here, I'll shinny through the hole and see what's in the next room. It's probably as empty as this one.
I'm right behind you.
Me too.
Ah! No. Both of you stay where you are. Don't come in here under any circumstances.
Now, what could be so bad, Mr. Van Brooklyn? Good Lord! The room is full of skeletons!
Skeletons? Oh, my God!
Yes, they're all sitting at what looks like a dining table. See, the place settings are still there and two huge candelabras. How many skeletons are there in total?
Some are slumped over and in odd positions. Here's one on the floor over here. Nothing left but bones. It looks like the remnants of 5 bodies to me.
They're dressed in fashions from the revolutionary period. Remnants of clothes are still on some of the bones.
You mean this room has not been opened since revolutionary times?
It looks that way. Here, shine the light over on the middle of the table. Oh, cobwebs. Oh, here, look at this. A packet of letters with a note on top that says, "To those who might doubt my loyalty." May I please look at these, Mr. Van Brooklyn?
Yes, certainly. You're the one that discovered the room.
Here are several from Washington, some from Jefferson. Here's Benjamin Franklin and Aaron Burr. Goodness, Mr. Van Brooklyn, you have an entire history in this stack of letters, all written by the people who were making it happen. This is an incredible find.
It is. It is. A pile of unknown letters from the men who founded this country. It's a dream come true.
But wait, there's another note in the middle of the table addressed, "To whom it may concern." May I do the honors, Mr. Van Brooklyn?
Yes. Please crack the seal and let's hear what it has to say.
Let me see. It's signed by Augustus Van Brooklyn.
Yes. He is an ancestor of mine, the one who originally built this house.
It says here, "Whoever finds this note, perhaps
one of my heirs, will hopefully have a sympathetic ear to the story of devastation in this room. I did my duty to my countrymen and to God. The men seated at this table were not my countrymen. Each of them were prominent businessmen from the village, and each one of them had royalist ties and is a traitor to the rebellion. They spied on our armies and sent troop positions to the enemy, supplied them with food and fodder for their horses, fixed their armaments, and gave them shelter from the weather. They would rather lick the boots of royalty than breathe the sweet air of freedom. All of them are traitors. Collectively, they wielded so much power in the area that the only way I knew to eliminate their nefarious presence was to invite them all to dinner and poison them. This I did, as you can witness by the evidence in front of you. The men sitting around this table are Joseph Hatton, banker, Frederick Barker, stable master, Leonidas Hendricks, hotel owner, Thomas Stalemeyer, manager of the ironworks, and worst of all, Judge Jeremiah Norton, who hanged many patriots for the most trifling offenses. After performing my act of duty, I had this room sealed off for my own protection. And now I leave myself to be judged by my neighbors, my God, and my future posterity. Done, this day of July 2nd, 1777,
by my own hand, Augustus Van Brooklyn.
It looks like you have solved more than one mystery for us, Miss Whitelinger. Not only have you found the missing page of calculations, you have uncovered the mysterious legend that has haunted my family since revolutionary times. Now Mr. Lang can conclude his business with the government, and you have proved my ancestors' role in helping to establish our government during its formative period. Of course, it also proves my ancestor was a murderer.
No, not a murderer. A patriot. Remember, this all happened during a time of war, when cousins were fighting each other, and neighbors burned down their fellows' houses and barns. No, I would consider this a legitimate act of war, not some random mass murder. It only proves the patriotism that has run in your family since its inception.
I hadn't thought about it in that way. Yes, you are right. I'll have the cobwebs and bones cleared from this room, without disturbing its other contents, and open the room as a private museum to the glorious revolution.
It is a testament that the pen may be mightier than the sword, but sometimes the pen and sword must work together to achieve the most important ends.
And so we leave Miss Evangeline Whitelinger, an extraordinary female sleuth from the 1920s, a lady with inestimable detective powers, as demonstrated by the mystery of the Van Brooklyn Mansion. Perhaps she will return in future adventures, presented by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players. Our performers in this production were Alana Berrigan-Scott as Evangeline Whitelinger, Carrie Butters as John, Steve Jones as Mr. Van Brooklyn, and Jeff Martin as Vincent and Thaddeus. Brad Buchanan was Augustus. Sound engineer and narrator was Darren Helwedge, and the show was written by Brad Buchanan. Post-production by Amy Humphrey and Joe Hayes of the band Clatter. We hope you've enjoyed this audio presentation of The Revolutionary Room, presented by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players. Please join us again next week at the same time for another classic story, right here on KBIA.